is a common mistake when it comes to Aseres Mitzvah. That immediately after Rosh Hashanah, of course, coming up to Rosh Hashanah, there's a big Avodah of Elul, especially by Slichos before Rosh Hashanah, to make a proper Hachana for the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah. And as soon as Rosh Hashanah is over, it's not Rosh Hashanah anymore, it's not Yontif, it's Yom HaSachoyel. Without realizing that the entire Tkufa, even beginning with Rosh Hashanah, is all called Aseres Mitzvah, and it's all underneath that school of which Chazal say, Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo Kruva Sakar. In fact, by many tzaddikim, though we know it to have Sudas every single day, so the Rosh Hashanah held that it was like a Cholamayid, Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippurim. Time of his Sairus, his Vadus. The days between, as we call them, being Kesel and Asar. The correlation between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Person who wants to have a wholesome, holistic, healthy perspective, deeper perspective of the Seder Avodah from Elul to Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Mitzvah Yom Kippurim Sukkot Shmini Atzeres. But of course, they're not isolated from each other. We don't look at any of these days really in a vacuum. To understand Rosh Hashanah, one needs to understand Rosh Hashanah's relationship with Yom Kippur. To understand Yom Kippur, one needs to understand its relationship to Chag HaSukkot and vice versa. One of the things which we say, of course, many things which we add during the Seder HaTfilah, during this time of year, but in the Kaddish, we say, La'ela u'la'ela, mikol v'chasa v'shirasa. What's the meaning of this, La'ela u'la'ela? As if Hashem, during the rest of the year, is not La'ela u'la'ela? Just one time La'ela, and now it's two times La'ela? Of course, it's a certain significance which that has in Derech Avodah. Starting from Elul, but especially from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. The Avodah leading up to Yom HaKippurim, which is called the Yom HaKadosh, is one of Kedusha. And Kedusha, of course, means Precious, as Rashi tells us, Kedushim Tiyu, Prushim Tiyu, which means that a person learns to separate himself from the physical world. And of course, separation from the physical world, in a deeper sense, doesn't mean to abstain. It doesn't mean that a person should be hard on himself, mutilate himself, chas v'shalom. The pain which we feel, or tzaddik feels, or a person feels, through an avodah of precious, of separation, is one of detachment from a fake life. That really, a real genuine life is a life that a Jew lives as a neshama, and that's the real simchas achayim. And if a person has to detach himself from bad habits, so of course, the process of detachment is painful because there's an addiction and the person is trying to remove himself from that way of life. So a life of indulgence in this world, which just a few months ago led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the avoid of returning to Hashem Yisparach with a real ratzon means that a person wants it so much that he's willing to give up and to make not sacrifices on a life he once had, but to be true to himself and to who he really is. To be a Kaddosh because he's essentially Kaddosh. And because the days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur are ones that the Kohen Gadol prepares himself to go Lifnei V'Lifnim, going Lifnei V'Lifnim, that place of Lifnei V'Lifnim is a place of which is Be'etzem Kimiyah Shemayim Al Aretz. It's a place where the heavens kiss the earth. When the Kohen Gadol goes into that place called Kodesh Kodeshim, that even Malachim are not allowed in there. It's a place which is considered to be not from this world at all. That when he comes out and he sees the face of the Kohen Gadol, the Marei Kohen, it's not an earthly face because he wasn't in an earthly place. As Chazal tell us that the Aron is Eino Lefi Amida, that there's no tzimtzum in that place of Kodesh Kodeshim. It's just called Makom. It's called Makom Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Makom Shel Olam. It's a place, it's an avodah of Mi Ya'aleh Lanu HaShemayimah, who will go up to the heavens. It's an aliyah to Shammai. Literally, Moshe had to go up to Har Sinai again on Yom Kippur to receive the Torah. It was a Nacha Mi Ya'aleh Lanu HaShemayimah. And that's how a Jew feels during this time period from Hashanah to Yom Kippur, that he prepares himself for the Yom HaKadosh, that he prepares himself, which Chazal tell us in the Zohar Kodesh, Mi Ya'aleh Lanu HaShemayimah is Rashi Tevas Mila. Mila is a lashon of tshuva, Mal Hashem Elokecha, es levavcha ves levav zarecha. The Kohen Gadol could only go into the Kodesh Kodeshim with Mila. Bezayis Yavo Aaron ala Kodesh, Chazal say, Bezayis Ein Zayis ala Mila. And Mila means more than just bris Mila. It means a way of life that a person detaches himself from the arlus and the cleavus of his life. When a person comes to Yom Kippur and he reaches this madriga of Mi Ya'aleh Lanu HaShemayimah and he feels that feeling, that exhilarating feeling of Ne'ilah, that he's made it through and he's come to a new place and he's clean and he's fresh, and that Simcha Matzi Yom Kippur, which is one of the biggest Simchas, of which all of Sukkot is based on that Sukkah of Matzi Yom Kippur. All of a sudden Hashem says to such a person, he says, okay, now that you made it this far, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out into the fields and start to cut down trees, because we need to build a sukkah. And while you're at it, you know, go to the field next door and start plucking out hadasim and aravos. You're going to need to be a bit of a farmer to know what you're looking for. You know, you're going to need some esregim. What's going on over here? All of a sudden you had a guy who was mamshin shemayim. He didn't know the first thing. You recite to him on Yom Kippur, you tap on the shoulder and be like, you know, you have any esregim? He'd say, what are you talking about? He says, I'm in Shemayim right now. What's an Esrog? He doesn't know anything outside of the Dalamas of the Beis Medrash. All of a sudden, Matzim Kippur, Ramah comes, he opens up a Shulchan Aruch to learn, and he looks at the Ramah, what do I have to do now? No, I probably have to, you know, have some type of an Aliyas Neshama now. And the first thing he sees in the Ramah, he has to start to build a Sukkah. Oh, build a Sukkah? Like, you know, like the Rimanov Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman Mendel from Rimanov. I heard from my Rebbe this Maisa that after Leil Seder, when he left, and he was walking in the streets, he would take a little spatzir, he would walk around a little bit, and he saw a guy walking around the streets, and he pointed and he said, they still have these in these days? Still these people like this in these days? He called it these days. Like, he was not mentioned in a different place. Like, he didn't think that there were any goyim around after the Seder. He says, he's zeichet to that light of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mamish, he had geula. It couldn't be that there were still goyim around anymore. They still have these days. That's how a person is in Motzi Yom Kippur. And the first thing the Ramah tells him is that he has to go put on his work clothes, go put on his gloves, take a saw, and start to chop down trees. Now to make a sukkah. So all of a sudden he went up to the highest places, Mi Ya'aleh Lanu HaShemayimah. And Motzi Yom Kippur, he's already being Isaac in the lowest places in the earth. Not even going to like his shop. He's mamash in the ground. He's taking his saw, he's pulling out things from the ground. This is the lowest place in earth. It would seem like a contradiction. But the emes is that when the tzaddik has to go from that place of precious, that place of kedusha, and to come all the way down to the aretz, this is not that Hashem is teaching chas v'shalom a person that he's forfeiting his madriga. What Hashem wants from the tzaddik, and that it's very nice and I'm very proud of you that you reached a place called Shemayim, that you identified yourself as a neshama, that you know what it means, that you have a part of you which is Shemayimi, a part of you which is artsy, and you identified yourself with the ikkar and you let go a little bit of the tafel, which is your guf. Hashem says, now you have to take that neshama and put it back in the body. Because you need to know how to live in the world, in a physical world, kederech kol ha'aretz. That you need to know how to sleep, you need to know how to eat, that you can't just be 40 days in Shemayim, like Moshe Rabbeinu le'acha v'le'shasa. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to come down, you have to be able to apply yourself to this world, to live in this world. And that's not called a Yerida. That just like when the Jew went up the first time, that was called an Aliyah to Shemayim, when he has to come down to the Aretz and to be Malbish, that Madriga, in a physical world, that's also called an Aliyah. You know, Tzaddik works very hard in order to detach himself from physical pleasures in this world. But it doesn't mean that he can't eat. He still needs to eat. But there's a way that a tzaddik goes, that even when he eats, he doesn't have tainik from what he eats. He eats because he has to eat, and he makes it in Avodas Hashem. Like the tzaddikim say, when they speak about making michudim when you eat, gematrias, you know, a tzaddik, when he eats a food, he thinks of the word ma'achal. Mem aleph chaf lamed. Ma'achal is gematria havaya adnas, is miyachi michudim. The tzaddikim say that such an avodah doesn't even begin if a person hasn't yet distanced himself from the physical pleasure of eating that food. It doesn't even begin. It's only talking to people that they have no tainug from the food whatsoever, that they're eating it completely because this is what a person needs to do, that they could be miyachid yichudim and do things like that. I don't know if that's halacha l'maisa. Right? Everything which we do nowadays, especially, is a very good. It's a very good thing. But famish from me, from the machavnim, from the mamish miyachid yichudim, a person who reached high madrigas. And Kubunim says a very beautiful pshat. And Simi Yud Zayin and Tar Simcha. Can't go anywhere without mentioning something about Purim, especially on Kippur time. Pasuk says, Esther tells them, everybody's going to fast and I'm going to fast too. Gaman even Aresai Yotzim came. So Frektim, a very shtark akasha. He said, how was Esther able to fast? Wasn't she going to be participating in a party with Ahasuerus and Haman those days? So she was going to be eating. So how can she fast for 3 days if it coincides with her party? Happened to be that this medrash says that she taka fasted. She taka fasted. Rabbunim says, what did she mean when she said that? She said like this. She said when she said Atzim Kain, what she meant to say is that even when I'm going to be eating, I'm going to be fasting. Because a tzaddik is able to make a suda, that it's nechshav ketainis, that it's like a tainis. What does that mean? It means to say that Esther was going to be sitting there, and when she was sitting in front of Ahasuerus and Haman, and there's nothing more in the world that she would rather do than to be away from there, not eating with them, that she would pick up the cookie, and she would be mahar her abracha, and she would eat it, and when she would take a bite, it would crush her. I can't believe I'm eating this right now. And that's called a tainus. That's not called eating. It's called a tainus. But when she was eating, she was being masana. This is what tzaddikim do. I'm talking about high madrigas, of course, that a tzaddik is able to take the physical life and to put the neshama into that. And even when they go through the physical processes of life, when they do it b'derech neshama, they have a greater tainig than from the taste of the food, they have a greater tainig from the oisius of the food, from the pneumius of the food. So therefore, in a certain way, Yom Kippur is considered to be a bridge between this place called Miyalan HaShemayim, coming back down to earth. And already before that, the Seuda of Erev Yom Kippur is like that. Because there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The Abdur Rav said, he says that when I eat on Erev Yom Kippur, it's a big inui for me to have to eat. Because really, who would want to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? You're preparing for the Yom HaKadosh, and you're going to eat, and the Torah tells you have to eat. This is the biggest inui possible, that a person has to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. This goes along the lines of what the Devei Chaim says. that the mitzvah to eat at Erev Yom Kippur is an emtsai to be makasher the achilas kol hashana, the way that a Jew eats the entire year, with dveikas on Yom Kippur. That the eating on Erev Yom Kippur is the eating because it kisses and it's so davuk to the day of Yom Kippur that it's an achila which a Jew eats, which is an achila shel dveikas. It's not a regular eating. That it's a way of eating and being involved in the physical world, but on a plane and on a level that a person has dveikas with Hashem. That's what happens when a person makes a bracha and he says Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav, or he makes a brayman and mizaynais on Erev Yom Kippur, and he does so because it's a mitzvah to do that nowadays, it elevates the entire experience that it has kedushas mitzvah. There's a dveikas in that. And he calls that an emtsai, it's a bridge. And that's exactly what Yom Kippur is, and that's exactly what Erev Yom Kippur has to do with it as well. That it's a bridge between this place called Miyala HaShamayma and to coming down to the lowest places on earth. It's actually very nice, according to the Devi Chaim and the Arv Yisrael. Chazal say that anybody who's misa'ane basiri and he eats b'chi'i and he eats on the ninth, it's ki'ilu his'ane basiri u'b'chi'i. It's as if he fasted also on the ninth. Why should that be? According to this, it's very nice. Because really, like the Arv Yisrael said, that really the when you eat on the ninth day, you don't want to be eating. It's an inui for you. It's an inui. Then you have to eat on that day. So because you really don't want to be eating, a tzaddik doesn't want to be eating on the ninth, but he eats anyways, that's why for him it's like a tainus. Because that's what it is. In Pinyin, it's a tainus for him. Like Rav Bunim says, that a tzaddik has a way of eating it as a tainus. This is the Bechina, which is called, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Im esak shamayim shamata, when I go up to the heavens, I find Hashem there. Im erid sha'ol hinaka, even when I go to the lowest places, you're still there. That it's when a Jew goes up to the heavens and when he comes back down, that's not called a yirida. It's not a yirida, it's not a falling from Yom Kippurim. When you have to come in to get your hands dirty, that's called you're taking Yom Kippur and you're putting it in. That the whole kedusha of the sukkah is the kedusha from your Yom Kippur. It's called the tzila din hamnusa, which means to say that the emunah which you were zechet on Yom Kippur, that's what you put into your sukkah. And that's what Chazal say, that when you take the lulav, you take your heart. And when you take your spine, when you take your esrog, you take your heart. It means that this new person which you made out of yourself, this new madriga which you were koina on Yom Kippurim, you take that in your hands and you make a kinyan on that the whole year. But you bring it into the lower places. One of the problems that Moshe Rabbeinu had because of the Chet HaEgel was that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heavens, and he came down afterwards, and he saw that the Gidon made the Chet HaEgel, it did not allow Moshe Rabbeinu to reach this Madriga. But Moshe wanted to bring this Madriga of Shemayim down into the earth, and he should be able to live a life like a normal human being, but on the level of Shemayim. But what happened? Because he saw the Gidon doing the Chet HaEgel, it separated Moshe's ability to bring down the Luchas to this world, to bring his Madriga down to this world. Hashem said to Moshe, Lech Reid Kishir HaZamcha, that when you go down from this mountain, it's not going to be an aliyah for you. It's going to be a yirida for you because you're not doing the Chet HaEgel. Because Be'etzem, when a person goes from Aretz to Shemayim, and he goes from Shemayim to Aretz, he makes a circle. Like Moshe Rabbeinu said, the day before he died, he had that madriga. It says, that he reached the madriga, he was able to do that. But until that last day of his life, that circle of life, which is to go from the heavens to earth and from the earth to the heavens, to make that circle, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that madriga. That's what Hashem says to Moshe, V'ata poi amadi madi. You have to stay here with me. And you can't go down to the Aretz. And for that reason, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was mufresh and moved from people. The Racham HaKadosh says in the beginning of Parshas Devarim that the words which you see in the Torah are the only words Moshe Rabbeinu ever spoke. He never spoke other than that. He was not a person, the Pinchas Karzer says, that he was amongst the people and schmoozing and this and that. And Moshe, he hardly ever spoke. The only words he spoke are the words you see. Other than that, he was conversing with Hashem Yisbarach, but he didn't speak to people. That was one of the complaints that Miriam and Aaron had. They said to Moshe, well, we're also Nevi'im. What kind of a life is he living? That he's parish from Tzipora? They had a good point. But they didn't realize this wasn't a choice that Moshe Rabbeinu made. That because the Yidden sinned with the Chet HaEgel, they broke the eagle. That eagle, the word eagle comes from the word eagle, which means the circle. The circle of connecting Shemayim to Aretz and Aretz to Shemayim. That Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was coming down from the heavens and coming down to earth and connecting the dots. They made a pagam in that separation in that circle. That circle, which is called Magli Tzedek. Like we say to Hashem Yisbarach, Yancheni b'Magli Tzedek. I want to walk on the path that was called Magli Tzedek, on the eagle, on the circle, the igulim. That place, I want to go down that place of connecting Shemayim Oretz and Arts to Shemayim. That when I come up to the highest places, when I come down, it's not called the Lechret, it's not called the Yerida. That's an Aliyah to go up to Shemayim and to come down to the earth. That's called an Aliyah. Like a Yehuda HaNasi, that he said about himself that he was the Nasi, he had everything in front of him. He said before he died that he wasn't Nehena Filu Etzba, not even a finger was he Nehena from this world. Doesn't mean that he didn't eat and he didn't drink. But that's the madrig of the high tzaddikim. And that's the pshat why we say in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we talk about la'ela ula'ela. Because it's one la'ela to go from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which means that a person is miyad lana shamayma. But when you have to bring it back down into the sukkah, you have to bring it back down into the normal world, that's not called the yerida, that's called the nachaliyah, that's called la'ela ula'ela. You go up, and when you come down, you go up again. And the reason why we have 7 days/8 days of Sukkah Shemini Atzeres is to be margalos, is to train us, is to create the hisraglos in how a Jew has kedusha in the day-to-day life. That everything which you eat and sleep and say and do in the Sukkah has kedushas mitzvah. A person can have tremendous dveikus in the Sukkah and everything which he does. It's not going to last like that the whole year. That's a gift that Hashem gives you. Like when you're born into this world, after you go up to Shemayim on Yom Kippur and you have to come down into this world and you say, what kind of a world is this? I'm not used to a world like this. I just spent Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, Mamish Parish and Muvdol. Like the Gemara says about Rava that he told his Talmidim, just don't bother me for Aseret Yemei Teshuva. If you don't bother me during these days, I'll take care of you the whole year. Just leave me alone for Aseret Yemei Teshuva. That's what a person would like to feel, hopefully. On some level like that, he feels like he could just, you know, if he can go fly away somewhere for Aseret Yemei Teshuva and make a big avodah for 10 days, after Yom Kippur, he'd feel like a different person. He'd say, how do I get back to this normal life? So Hashem says, I'm going to give you a gift. It's called Sukkos. That I'm going to give you a training period that you should know that everything which you see, eat, drink, say, do for 7-8 days is going to be Kaddish. So that you'd be able to create a regilus in having to live a life like that. Not to see eating and drinking and speaking to people and being a normal human being as being something foreign to us. But to realize that this tremendous dvikas that a person has to be able to put the kedusha of Shemayim into the Aretz, and when he does so, that's called La'ila La'ila. That's from the highest places. This is especially true by the Talmidei Baal Shem, that although they were very big and they were Kaddish, that they made a very big inyan about his vadas of sitting together, of talking, of the achdus and the reyes, and how to be ma'ur of my bios. Wasn't necessarily so true by in other until the Talmidei Baal Shem. The people who were the kedoshim in the time, there were people that were mufresh and muvdal, they were kabbalists, they were great people, mamish giants of people. But they associated being special as being somebody mufresh and muvdal completely. So the Talmidei Baal Shem came and they said, no, fakert. You have to have a reyes and an achdus with al yidin. Is what to grow from being with simple people. To have to live an earthly life also, but to live a godly life in an earthly way. And this is very much stressed by the Talmidei Baal Shem, and this you see this from the Seder Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Sukkot, and the Shemini Atzeres, and to be able to take that way of life even into the Choshev of Cheshvan. And then when you come to Chanukah, you go into even lower places than that. You have to take it even deeper than that. There's never an end. And then you come to Purim, and your mamash take it very far. To places of Ad Lo Yada. You bring it back to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was buried in Ad Lo Yada, and you give Moshe back his madriga of Magli Tzedek, of connecting the dots, finishing that circle. You reach the madriga of Moshe Rabbeinu in that time. And then you come back to the Seder, and you come back to the Rim and Ovar, and you're like, whoa, who are these? What is that? It's just to be able to identify through the circle of life, through the Seder Hashanah, each spot when a person comes to know how to identify what's called Miyah Lana Shemaima, what's called Vimeirid Shamata, you know, Hineka, when you come back to the lowest places, you're able to find Hashem there. Everything comes back to Shavisi Hashem, and if a Jew is searching, if he makes a life out of Dirish Hashem being Matzai, that even when it's not being Matzai, he's still a Dirish Hashem. He's Dirish Hashem Ve'uso. Every single day we begin davening, Dirish Hashem Ve'uso, Bakshu Fun of Tomei. It's not something which ever ends to be a Dirish Hashem. But even these days of Esayah Simei Tshuva trains us that we should be people who are Dirish Hashem, Dirish Yechudcha. We Dirish Hashem and that Yuchid of Hashem no matter what we do. We should have that say after the Shemaya. In coming together during this time, that on the one hand it's a service of mitzvah, and in our heads, you know, are in Shemayim, but to be able to sit together, al ara, al aretz, you know, in together creates that theme, that bridge as we approach Erev Yom Kippurim, to be able to combine these two worlds, to be a yanchin b'mag v'tzedek l'man Shemay. Hashem should help us be able to do tshuva shleima, be able to be zecha to these madrigas, shivis Hashem l'neg v'tamid, achsvenim b'tshuva shlom mishvanecha, and to be zecha. Let's go outside and make a minimum, man.